If you take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue our series out of Hebrews 11, series on faith walkers. We're going to begin Moses tonight, probably do three lessons at least on Moses. Begin to read in verse 23, Hebrews 11, verse 23, down through verse number 29. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. Bible says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Moses, the life of Moses. What a man of faith. Thank you for what we're going to learn tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you look at the scriptures, we did this when we looked at Abraham's example. But if you look at the beginning of verse number 23, we see by faith Moses. And then if you look at the beginning of verse number 24, by faith Moses. And so we're so far introduced to two instances of his faith. And then verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. That's the third one. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. That's the fourth one. And then the fifth example is found in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. And so there's five instances here of stories out of the life of Moses, or events in the life of Moses that God pointed to and said, hey, if you want to see what faith is, take a look at that. And so we're going to tackle number one. And even though it begins by faith Moses, I'm going to name the message tonight, the faith of godly parents, the faith of godly parents. One of the reasons that I think that Moses grew up to be a man of faith is because he had a dad that was a man of faith and a mother that was a mother of faith. And verse number 23 highlights the faith of Moses' parents, because it says by faith Moses when he was born. Let's break it down. Say, preacher, this is it. All the outlines right there. Yep, it's right there in verse 23. Think about it. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Then said something else, because they saw he was a proper child. Then the last point, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this is so timely what we're going to read right now. This is so timely what we're going to study right now. As we look at the United States of America, we're going to draw a lot of parallels. If there's ever a time we need to be people of faith, it needs to be right now. And so this will help us tonight, the faith of godly parents. So what's the outline, preacher? I'm going to give you the outline, all four of them, and then we'll just teach down through them. The faith to bring him into the world. The faith to bring him into the world. I mean, think about it. We're going to go back and look at the conditions of the world at that time. Too many Christians are looking around saying, well, you never heard this? I don't know, as bad as things end, I don't know if this is just a good time to be bringing children into this world. What are you talking about? Folks, we're going to take a look at a time where the Israelite, the people of Israel, were facing something that makes what we are facing nothing. And yet, you know what? They had the faith, number one, to bring him into the world. Number two, the faith to defy unlawful orders of an ungodly king. The faith to defy unlawful orders of an ungodly king. Number three, the faith to protect him from the evil of this world hid him 3 months. And then number four, the faith to see his great potential. They saw he was a proper child. We're going to do them in that order, because if you go back into the book of Exodus, which we're going to go to now, Mark, if you will, Hebrews chapter 11, we might refer back to it a few times, but most of the rest of the night, we're going to spend in Exodus chapter 1. And we're going, and a little bit of Exodus chapter number 2. We're going to go back and look at the parents of Moses, the parents of Moses. So in Exodus chapter number 1, let's begin reading and in verse number 7. Exodus 1 verse 7. I'm going to read down through and stop and make a little bit of comment here and there. We'll read down through verse 14. Verse number 7, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, we're going about to see a shift in the political scene. How about that? Verse number 8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Now, were they a threat to the Egyptians? Were they causing any problems at all? You see, folks, in order to make a group of people bad, there has to be a godless king that wants to reintroduce a group of people in a new light and supposedly identify the potential danger of these people. And I want to say something about this. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You go and do your world history. You show me any country that went socialistic, or you show me any country that went communistic, where the first group of people that they begin to persecute were the Christians. Show me one where that's not true. In every single case in world history, when there is a shift in government towards socialism and communism, then all of a sudden Christians and the Church of Jesus Christ are the first ones that are reintroduced in the new light of this philosophy. And even though they probably are, and I think the Israelites were the most productive and the most law-abiding. But you know what? That's not good enough, because they're not like us. They're not like us. They could be a potential threat to us. We're seeing a lot of the same things right now today. Verse 11, therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And this is persecution, folks. You can write it any way you want to, but they all of a sudden, they're treating them, putting burdens on them that are unreasonable. Wanting to turn them into slaves. Listen to me, wanting to turn them into slaves. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. And they, but the more, this is encouragement to me, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Now, folks, listen to me. If we let persecution do what they want it to do, then it'll cause us all to dig a hole, crawl him into the hole, and just give up on everything. But you'll see it in this, you'll see it in the book of Acts, that the Church of Jesus Christ tends to flourish when there's some persecution. Persecution is not bad for the Church of Jesus Christ. Do you like it? No, I don't like it. Do you want it? No, I'm not praying for it. Okay? But if it comes, it will help us. If it comes, it's going to make us have to make some decisions, stand up for some things, and really get into the Bible and decide what we believe and what we don't believe. And you know what? I believe this. I believe if we'll follow the Bible principles here, that if this new form of government does eventually come into America, where all of a sudden Christians are persecuted, you might see the greatest atmosphere for true revival that we've had in the last 100 years. And so, I mean, I'm talking about since the Great Depression. And so I believe that we are seeing a very similar things today. Verse 13, the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they were made, wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Stop. Let's ask to go back to the original point here. They had the faith to bring him into this world. Okay, this is not a good time for the children of Israel. You say, oh my goodness sakes, life has never been harder, and this is tough, and man alive, it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and more is put on us. And you know what? Despite all of that, flip over to Exodus chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2. Watch this. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. Now, folks, listen, I'm going to just give a little pep talk here, okay? And I mean this. I don't want you to buy into the devil's lies. I believe that if Christian people in the last 100 years hadn't bought into a lot of the nonsense and just decided that they were going to, by faith, bring young people into this world. Think about what's happened in the last 100 years. So in World War II, we weren't supposed to have kids because, you know, man, they're just unprecedented times. Okay, I mean, you know, there's always something going on. There's always another reason. In the 1970s, we shouldn't have children. I mean, inflation and prices, and we've got to be sensible, and we. And you know what? I just want to say a big thank you to the parents of Moses, because if they'd have bought into a lot of the philosophies that are being taught to Christians today, then you know what? They may not have had the faith to bring this child into the world. And so don't use that excuse and don't hide behind that excuse when it comes to stepping out by faith and bringing children into the world. Number one, the faith to bring him into this world. Let's look at number two, the faith to defy unlawful orders of an ungodly king. Now, you're right there in chapter one. Let's back up and look at verse number 15. Folks, think about this. Think about the power of Pharaoh. Think about what he begins to do. You see, he's going to do several things here. First of all, he's going to try to make their lives so hard and just turn them in as much as he can into slaves, where they have to get up early and they work all day and they have no energy left except to fall into bed at night. And therefore, he keeps them exhausted, and he uses all of their work not to better them and allow them to better themselves, but he takes all of that to build him cities, the treasure cities. Folks, again, am I describing the United States of America? I mean, you know, I say this from time to time, but it needs to be said. You know, we've got a new president that literally ran on a platform where he stood up and told everybody he's going to raise our taxes. I don't know in the history of, I can't remember in my lifetime where a presidential candidate ran openly on the idea he was going to raise taxes and then, you know, was elected, you know. But, you know, you can trust the computers. I'm sure it's all legit, all right? But I'm sitting there thinking to myself, listen, I watch. Come on, I live it. You guys live it. I watch God's people. You know, we're already encumbered. We're already being taken advantage of. You know, one of the things that really spurs capitalism, keeps capitalist people involved in a capitalistic system, is the reward of labor. And that's biblical, by the way. The labor is worthy of his reward. And to be able to just have a guy go to work and go to work and go to work and then take that reward from him. You know, I mean, the average working man sitting in this room, the average working man, is, you know, one third of everything that you make is going to be taken from you by the government. I mean taken from you. Some of folks more than that. And some of that is, you know, income taxes, and some of it is the taxes of the amount. You're taxed on everything that when you do, the little bit you do get to keep, you spend and you're taxed again on it. You know, I mean, folks, we're taxed on our homes every year. When is your property? Oh, I own mine clear and free. Oh, do you? Just don't pay taxes next year and find out whether you own it clear and free. I mean, if you really think of how did we get here? One of the things that you'll notice when you study the income tax book, you know, they look back at the pre-World War II or the post-World War II era and just America exploding and jobs and productivity and accumulation of wealth and people being able to buy homes and build homes and have families. And you need to take a look at it. You realize the income tax level down that and during that part was under 3%. Can you imagine if everybody in this room was allowed to keep 97% of what you made this year? So what's happened? We've got a Pharaoh. Hey, by the way, all of them Pharaohs weren't Democrats either. Okay. there's a greed amongst the elite in our country. You know, as they, you know, work the law so that they pay as little as possible. And then, you know, they're wanting, listen, we can only pay so much. And now we're really, we've been pre-warned. I'm going to go after more of your money. Well, you think about that. That's what Pharaoh did. He basically said, the way I'm going to control you is I'm going to make you work, you know, and I'm going to make your work bitter. I'm going to make it hard. I'm going to make the days long. And by the way, it's not going to benefit you. It's going to benefit me. And then we see the second thing that begins to happen is that then he begins to say, how can we limit them? Listen, we've got to talk them in. We've got to control the number of children they're having. We've got to eliminate the male. I'm just going to read it to you. Look, if you will, in verse number 15. Now, I want you to think about this. Let's look at verse number 15. The king of Egypt spake to the, who did he go to first? Who did he go to first? Did he go to the moms and dads? Did he have a group meeting with the men, the Israelite men, and say, hey, let me try to rationalize with you why you need to be thinking about how many children you're having. Who did he approach? Come on, what does this group represent in our culture? Okay, he went to the medical people. He went to the medical field. Come on. And he said without, listen, no expecting mother knew about this meeting. I think they found out because midwives, they talk, okay, and we're going to find out. Thank God they had some Christianity in them. They loved God. They knew what they were being was being requested of them wasn't going to. They didn't want to stand before Jehovah God with that blood on their hands. But I want you to think about that, folks. Listen, I wish that I could stand here and tell you, trust the medical field, trust the medical those leaders, those people that are being placed in front of us that are the medical experts. But you better do your homework, because there is a satanic agenda being run, and it's being and the medical field and the medical experts are the ones that are being used to convince us of some things that, yes, this is good for our country. This is the right thing to do. This is the responsible thing to do. And you know what? I wish we lived in a godly country where you could just, I mean, some of you have great family doctors. I mean that. I think if you don't have, I'd find one. I'd find a Christian one, and I'd find one that is honest, and I'd find one that had ethics, and I'd find one that has a moral compass, because you're going to need to talk to somebody in the medical field that's not a puppet of what's going on in our country right now. But he, isn't it interesting, verse 15, the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives. And by the way, this is a this lady's name is Shiphrah, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure why she's mentioned. It says, of which the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. Okay, now, this is interesting to me, okay? All right, so there was two midwives, and there was a group of midwives, and I think there was probably two of them that were kind of, you know, the heads of this. And maybe they were the most experienced. Maybe they were the most respected. And there's two things I'm kind of curious about here, and I'm not sure which is true. I'm thinking, okay, if I'm Pharaoh, do I just pick the two that, I mean, if I'm him, I'm going to try to pick two that is going to help me implement what I want done. But then I got thinking, well, you know what? Maybe he just knew that these were the two that everybody listened to. And he was hoping to sway them. Either way, it didn't work. It did not work. And I think that God would not have put their names in here if they weren't two heroines that just stood up, listened to that meeting. Can you imagine? You're a midwife and you're being called into Pharaoh's court. And he says, this is the way it's going to happen from now. And the two of you have got to walk out of there knowing that if you don't implement what Pharaoh said, it could be your lives. Okay, you're going to be the ones answering. Not all these other ones. You're going to be the ones answering. And you see, I'm talking about courage here, folks. I'm talking about, come on, we as Christians are going to have to, in America, stand up against some things that the medical field now thinks is just fine. Okay? I mean, think about what is allowed. Think about what is being okay. Think about, listen, one of the reasons that we thank God got at least one Supreme Court justice, if President Trump just doesn't work out where he's president again for the next 4 years, we've got one. But, they didn't fight that very hard. I mean, the Democrats, they didn't seem to put up much of a fight. Well, it's because they got a plan B. Okay, what are they going to do? They're already talking about, let's increase the number of the Supreme Court justices. Well, the minute they do that, and if we've got a liberal baby hater, baby killer in there, you think he's not going to pick somebody? I mean, folks, you think about how close we are getting right now to get in a position to challenge Roe versus Wade. Think about that. And that's why we've got to fight this. I'm talking about as American people, we're going to have to get a hold of our legislature. We're going to have to fight this idea of expanding the Supreme Court to more justices, because everything we worked for and we finally got they're talking about, stockpiling or packing the court. They've been packing the court for years. And now conservative Christians and conservative people have got the right people in, and God's allowed it to be at the right time. We're getting to the point where there could be a little bit of shift to balance of power, and boom, we just have a president and a Senate that just decides they're going to increase it. We go back to where we were before, or worse. So think about this, and here it is. But these midwives, God bless these midwives. Thank God for Christian ladies and Christian doctors in our medical profession. Because folks, they're not all bad. But you talk to any of them that have to attend these sensitivity trainings, and you talk to any of them, they're put under pressure as Christians about what they can talk to patients about, what they can't talk to patients about, and what they can say is right, what they can say is wrong. And I just want to say this. Listen, if it costs me my job and if it costs me my life, I need to stand for what's right. Okay? When Jesus wrote that letter to one of the seven churches, he talked to challenge them to be faithful unto death. One of the reasons the church in the book of Acts was able to accomplish what it did is one of the tenets of the book of Acts is that group of people had a martyr's mentality. I mean, they were willing to take it all the way. And we are going to have to stand up in every arena of life, every job, every arena of life. We need to stop just bobbleheading all of the bosses and everybody comes in and, well, we got to do this and we got to say this. And we can't say that. We're not allowed to say this because we're going to lose our job. Okay, everybody's so afraid to lose their job, nobody's standing up. You don't think God will take care of you? I mean, there's a whole army of Christian nurses in the medical field, and Christian doctors need to turn around and say to political correctness, I'm sorry, but that may be the accepted thinking, but that is not right. That is wrong. And that's exactly what these ladies did. It says, and so he said to the midwives, when you do the office of the midwife to Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, and if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. You shall kill him. Think about this. We're not far from that. It's happening right now. Partial birth abortions are happening in the United States of America. I mean, they're pushing for full delivery abortions. The lady already said that she wants an abortion and something doesn't, the procedure don't go right, the child is born alive. I mean, they are literally saying we put him in a room until it dies. We deny it medical. This is happening now, not might happen, it's happening now. In the United States of America, they literally said when that baby's born and that woman is trying to, get her wits about her and recover, and if it's a male child, can you imagine? That you take the baby away from the mom and said, I'm going to clean it up, and then I guess what are you supposed to do? Just take it over there and strangle it? By the way, you say, now that's terrible. It's no more terrible than what they're doing in abortion. I don't care how you kill it, you kill it. You're a murderer either way. But how does this just keep going on and people aren't standing up and people aren't walking out and people aren't speaking up and again, lose my job. Okay, well, then don't lose your job. I don't care what arena of life we are living in, we have to stand up for our Christian principles, and we have to stand up for what is right. Thank God this is the medical profession. Ladies that are considered would be considered the nurses. They're the ones in there delivering the nurses and the doctors, and they're delivering the babies. And you know what they're doing? They're standing up and saying, Nope, we're not doing that. I love this verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not. Are you getting this? Did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Now, what's the point again, preacher? The faith to defy the unlawful orders of an ungodly king. What's an unlawful order, or what I call sometimes an unlawful law? An unlawful law is any law that's passed by men that if we were to obey it, we would have to break the laws and the commandments of God. To a Christian, those are unlawful laws. You've overstepped your boundaries. These midwives said, I'm sorry, you may be the king of Egypt, and you may be able to take my life, and you may be able to, you may be able to control armies, and you can, but you are not going to make me do this. This is not happening. Okay? And I'm challenged the medical field, but I'm telling you, every single one of you, no matter where you work at, there's some hogwash that are going on, some things, meetings that are being held, and some things where you're being asked to be quiet in an area or not say anything in an area, and your jobs are being threatened if you say or do or take a stand or condemn certain things. You know what I say? Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Okay? Because I really believe that in every arena, Christians have just quietly kept backing up, or even if they didn't involve themselves with it, just be quiet. And you know what? Listen, are you serving God or mammon? Okay, come on. You're telling me you don't have a great enough God to provide for your family, give you a better job, even if you just honor him? And even if you don't, good night. I'd rather live on minimum wage and beans and rice and be able to lay my head on my pillow at night knowing I've stood up for God. Then just, we've got to stop caving to everything. Now, I don't know where that applies to everybody in this room. You know, you live in your world. You know what you face. You know, many of you know the way God's just protected you and not put you in those situations. But I'm telling you, they're pushing it and they're pushing it and they're pushing it. And they're the DeLucas. They just sent me an email. And you know what the big concern is now? They're literally now redesigning passports that is going to be, if it's not stamped that you've had these vaccines, you will not be able to fly internationally. Well, folks, if you I don't care how you feel or don't feel about the vaccines, I'm flat telling you, this is setting things up for world control and the Antichrist. What happened to being free? You know, and you know how I feel about abortion. I think everybody knows. But isn't it crazy that they sat there and hid behind? This is the rallying cry. Pro-choice, pro-choice, pro-choice. It's my body, so it ought to be my decision. And they've hid behind that to kill 61 million babies in America. But if I stand up trying to walk into a store and say, pro-choice, it's my body, so it should be my decision. I choose not to wear this. Then all of a sudden, I'm a bad person that don't care about anybody, and I ought to be made to do it or thrown out of the store. And the hypocrisy of it. You know, you think about it. You can't use the argument over here to win what you want and then deny me the same argument, even if I don't agree with your original premise. So this is where we've got to start saying things like that. Challenging things like that, you know, and speaking out against things and stop just being a bunch of sheeple. They're just, okay, well, you know, they said we got to do this. I guess we just got to do this. And, you know, excuse me, are you an American? Are you freeborn? Is it your body or is it not? Do you answer ultimately to man or God? Now you say, well, preacher, you know, Romans chapter 13 warns us, and I'm going to go ahead and go there tonight. I don't know how far we may not get through this first one all the way, but it's all right. The faith to defy the unlawful orders of ungodly kings. Some of you, I need to shore up a little bit here. We are going to have, as Christians, start learning to push back. I'm not saying push back on everything. We can't just become that person that is, if somebody tells us something to do, we're just not going to do it because we're not going to do it. But they're getting us closer and closer to lines where they're taking our freedoms away, and there's things that we ought to be able to choose to do or not to do. And it's all programming people, preparing them for taking of the mark of the beast and all of the one world government, one world control. So Romans 13, if you want to flip back there, maybe we'll chase this down and then we'll pick up wherever we end off and go on next week. I wanted to pick out something that would get us into the Christmas spirit. So here we go. Amen. We're doing it here. Have a holly jolly Christmas. While I burn my face mask, amen. So. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. You say, well, here it is, preacher. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Well, it even gets tougher. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Okay, stop. What happened to those midwives back there? Did God bring judgment upon their lives? Did God condemn their actions? Didn't God reward them by giving? You know, the midwives a lot of times were ladies that were either unmarried or they were unable to have children. And yet the Bible says that God made households of them. They were married, or their wombs were open. They were allowed to have children of their own. It's incredible. So God openly rewards what they did. So we've got to reconcile these two things. Okay, so verse 3, for rulers. Oh, wait a minute. So this Romans chapter 13 is just talking about our responsibilities to government, but government's responsibilities to us. See, folks, Romans 13, first 5 or 6 verses, it's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. Okay? And it tells us our responsibilities to government, verse 1 and 2, but it also then describes the type of powers that are worthy of verse 1 and 2. Okay, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Well, I wish that was all aspects of our government, but a lot of times when we do good, we don't receive praise of the same. They're not a terror to evil. They are a terror to good works and a promoter of evil. Okay. I mean, you think about the number and the percentage of our government officials on all levels that are, I mean, folks, they're not just for abortion, they're not just pro-choice. Let me say this. They are enthusiastically for the murdering of babies. Enthusiastically for it. Okay? And so think about that. Now, verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. You know, most of us that are my age and older and even a little younger, we grew up in an America where if you did the right thing, you were rewarded. And the reason we didn't do a lot of the wrong things is because we would be arrested. Now, I want you to think about that in the light of what we've seen in the last 9 to 10 months in America. Okay, if you are doing the right thing, you are the one that's at risk of being arrested. And yet those that are doing evil, I mean, actively, folks, committing acts of violence and thievery, our police force basically told, well, you know, disperse them, but don't arrest them. And I'm telling you, pray for our law enforcement officers. Can you imagine being a law enforcement officer in the climate that our government is creating for them? They have been trained to be a terror to evil, but now they're being told you can't do that. You can't force that anymore. You can't enforce that law. You can't do that law. We're seeing an exodus from law enforcement of good people that we need right now. So think about that. I'm tackling this because what are we talking about? We're talking about parents. We're talking about parenting. Moms and dads, you that's got little toddlers running around here, I'm telling you, you are going to have to face some choices that my generation did not have to face in the rearing of your children. where your government is going to come and say, you have to do this or you have to do that. What you better do is just open this book. And if what they're telling you to do is against this book, then you don't do it. You don't do it. Okay? And don't pull Romans 13. I like to remind people that Paul wrote Romans 13 while he was in jail. All right? That might put a little bit more perspective into it. Okay? Acts chapter 5, there was a group of dignitaries that decided they were going to tell the disciples what they could preach and what they couldn't preach and where they could do it, how they could do it. Sounds kind of like the last 9 months. It says they in Acts 5, verse 18, they laid hands on the apostles, put them in a common prison. Think about it. Hey, if these Christians, first century Christians, went to jail for doing the right thing, why do we think we might not have to go to jail for doing the right thing? Preacher, this is not what I wanted to hear. I just wanted 2020 to be over. That was all one big bad nightmare. January 1st, we're gonna wake up to the America that used to be. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I'm telling you right now, the devil, listen, there has been an unleashing, listen to what I'm about to say, of the spirit of Antichrist. I mean, like somebody lifted up the lid to the pit of hell. And what has been released across our country, you're not stuffing it back in the hole. And I know this is, listen, you think, y'all worked hard all day long. You come in here, you know, you got your last energy, and you come in and think, preacher, just please encourage me somehow, you know. So far, I'm missing. This is the battle I feel like I'm, this is what I feel like I'm doing this year right now. Our Christian folks need encouragement because of all the things we've had to go through. But if all I do is encourage, listen, I feel like I need to spend time encouraging, but I need to begin to prepare Christians for what we're going to have to face. Because all this happened under a president that most of us just voted for. And there's a good chance we're getting the president we didn't vote for that have anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christ leanings. And I don't apologize for what I just said. If you see nothing wrong with reaching into a woman's womb and pulling apart an unborn baby, then I don't trust you're the one giving me medical advice? Okay, I mean, we need to call it like it is. And so, you know, this is what I'm facing here. I'm facing, okay, as a pastor, you know, but I also feel like, you know what I'm telling you, I'm positioning myself. The shepherd has the staff out and the shepherd has the sling and the stones, and I'm going to be in the lead to protect this flock. And I'm hardening myself for that. But I just can't harden myself for it. I've got to prepare a group of people that you're going to have to live this thing out. And if that sounds doom and gloom, I'm sorry. But you know what? We can stick our head in the sand and act like this is all going away. It's not going to go away. And so we get into the Bible like this. And, you know, all of a sudden a passage of Scripture that we all knew, we all read, but now we're reading it. Come on, if we read this a year ago, we'd still pull out some of the principles. All of a sudden now it's like, well, we're living this. Yeah, yeah. And so, you know what? Listen, parents, this is it. How did Moses end up? How did Moses grow up to be a man of faith? Because you know what? In this environment, they said, we're going to have a son. And you know what? We are going to stand up for the principles of God's word, even if Pharaoh says we can't. And you know what? We're going to do everything we can. Third point, protect him from the evil that's out there. You know why? Because when they held that little baby, they saw he was a goodly person. And that means they saw the long-term potential of that child. And let me tell you why this old man is ready to go to war and to fight for this flock. It's not because of a bunch of us gray heads. I'm sorry, but we've kind of lived our lives. The honest truth is we got not much ahead and most of it behind. But we're getting, you know why gray heads will stand up and fight? Because they love their grandkids and they love their kids. And the most precious thing we have at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is the children that run around before and after the services here. And so, you know, we've got to harden ourselves about some things. I'm trying to put some courage in some of you. I'm trying to keep you from being sheeple, because if you're just going to say yes to everything that makes no sense, pretty soon you're going to be programmed to say yes to some things that are out and out evil. And we still are free Americans. As much as they've ignored the First Amendment of the Constitution, it's still there. And as much as they're going to go after the Second Amendment of the Constitution, it's still there. And there's a reason the second followed the first. Read them. Get an education. Okay? Which, again, But we're not the first ones to face this. And man alive, I love these midwives. I can't wait. I'm going to find these two midwives when I get to heaven. What was it like standing in there? I mean, you are pulled into the palace, Pharaoh's palace, and he walks out and he looks down in all his power and says, this is the way it's going to be. And this is the way you're going to handle it. And you're going to go back and you're going to retrain your midwives. And those two little gals, I'm going to tell you what, had as much courage as any two Israelite warriors that ever fought on the front line in a battle. Because as they're walking out of that, they're looking at each other, and you don't think they were scared. You don't think that their whole lives just got turned upside down. But I don't think they got halfway home where they didn't stop, look each other in the eye and say, what are we going to do? We're going to obey God. The Egyptians think that's God. We know that's not God. And we're not going to strangle the male babies that are born to these women. We're not doing it. And God said, I'll bless you for that. And you know what? Here's a group of, I'd start getting to Acts chapter 5. And here's a group of dignitaries that say, you're not going to preach on this. We'll throw you in jail. I want to finish that story because I love it. All right. And then we'll wind her down. And when they heard that, they laid the hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. That's verse 18 of Acts 5 if you're over there. If not, just listen up. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand, speak in the temple to all the people, all the words of this life. That's what they just got in trouble for doing. Now, this, folks, watch this. I want to give you something here, okay? What is the reward when you study these instances in the Bible? What is the reward, more times than not, than what you say? When God sees Christians put in a position where they have to stand up for God against government, I can show you instance after instance after instance where God performs supernatural miracles in their defense. Hey, remember that big image that was created, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Here's the law, and here's the music. We've got a rock and roll band, our little contemporary Christian music band, and when they start playing, y'all kneel down, and they're looking at each other. And listen, you know, it's easy to tell the story, but you put yourself there because you are going to be put there, folks. I mean, we're not ducking, hiding. There's going to be only, you know, rural America. Oh, I love, thank God I live in rural America. I do too. But you know what? The big emphasis right now with this news spike, listen to the news, what it's saying, is they're seeing rural America ignore them for the most part, and now they are going after rural America. They're going after grassroots America to force some of this nonsense on. You're only going to hide so long. Sooner or later, every single one of us is going to have that eyeball. Come on, husbands, wives, where you got that eyeball-to-eyeball thing and say, wait a minute, can we do this? Can we do this? Should we do this? I mean, there's those three Hebrew boys. I mean, we can't kneel down to an image. We just broke the first and second commandment. Of the Ten Commandments. Well, they said if you don't kneel down, they're going to heat up that fiery furnace. Isn't it interesting? Buddy, they threw three in, but there was a fourth one walking around in there with them. And I understand when we get down to the end of the book of Hebrews, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Not everyone that stood for God on earth had a happily ever after ending. But in heaven, they had a happily ever after ending. And, you know, even those three Hebrew children, they said, hey, you know what? Our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we will not. So I think Christians are going to have an opportunity to stand up and really see God come to our defense in some areas and do the supernatural. But that does not mean that every other group of Christians that have come and gone off this planet, there's always been a percentage that's had to die a martyr's death. Folks, listen, people are dying as martyrs for the cause of Christ more today and more in the last, listen, I've heard the statistic in the last 100 years, Brother Joe, if I'm right on this, the last 100 years, there's been more martyrs for the cause of Christ than in the previous 1900 years of Christian history since Jesus died. Don't think it's not happening every day right now. The media is just not covering it. So, hope y'all have a good Wednesday. What are you doing, preacher? I'm getting you battle hardened a little bit. I'm getting you battle hardened. You know what I want to do? I want to create dialogue. I want to create conversation. I want families to start talking about, okay, what are we going to do? And I found out this, it's far better to simplify life by passing personal principles that govern my behavior instead of on every single instance trying to redecide where the lines are. That's why you live by principles, not pressure. Okay, you just settle some biblical principles in your life, and these are where the lines are. And I've done it as concerning the past, being the pastor of this church, and I've reaffirmed some of those lines based on what we've went through, and I feel like, you know, getting a little duped there, to be honest with you. And I've just settled in on some things, and there's going to be some never again lines in my heart and mind. And you know what? I've told you from the beginning, we'll have services here. We'll have it three different ways. Yeah, I'm not throwing rocks at anybody, but I think this whole idea of having the government telling us how we're going to worship and when we're going to worship and where we're going to worship and only how many people can come worship it. Folks, that's communist China stuff. That's Stalin stuff. I mean, that is. Okay, and you are going to wear this, and you are going to do this, and you are going to take this, and you are going to get in line, and you are going to get this shot, and you are, wait a minute, hello? I'm a free-born American. You know, what happened to give me liberty or give me death? Whoa, you're going to do what? I was down in Lexington preaching at Commonwealth Baptist College, and I walked in, I needed to pick up something for my truck in a parts store, so I walk in and there's this guy and he's behind the counter and he steps out. He's the older guy in there. He's got younger people working with him. And he said, "Sir, where's your mask?" I said, "I don't have one." This is what he said to me. "Well, you will have one in a minute. You'll wear it." Now, I don't know, you know, maybe he had his Wheaties that morning. He was feeling like a, but I had my Wheaties. I had two bowls of my Wheaties. And I looked at him and I said, "Sir, excuse me." I said, "You can get me 1,000 masks. I'm not wearing it. You know why I won't wear it now? Because you said that you're going to make me wear it. I'm a free-born American." Boy, y'all see all them young people. They're watching him and watching me and watching him, watching me. And he said, "Well, that's the rules." I said, "No, that there's no law that has been passed." And I said, "Do you want me to spend my money here or go somewhere else?" "Go somewhere else. Bye." I literally got in my car, drove 2 minutes down the road, walked into another auto parts store where the people behind the counter didn't have masks on. Nobody else had masks on. And you know what? I spent over $100 in that store. You know, someone's got to start pushing back. And you know what? I'll tell you this, folks. I have not tried to be unreasonable. I feel like that our small businesses are being put in a no-win situation. And you know what? There's some of these people that are going to lose their business or lose their jobs. And the honest truth is, if that guy in a halfway decent tone would have just said, "Sir, can I ask you to do something?" Well, you can ask a free-born American to do something. If we can oblige as a Christian, I'll oblige. But you're not going to say, "You will have one and you will wear it." Because that's not the America I was raised in. Okay? And this is where we better start stepping up and saying, people say, "Sir, do you need a mask?" Here's the way you answer that question. That's what most of them are now being trained to ask is, "Sir, do you need a mask?" "Nope."
Exactly. Yes, right.
Well, don't you feel like it? No, I don't explain anything. You don't have to explain. You know why you're a free-born American? That's why you don't have to explain anything. You know, you don't have to bring a note from your doctor. You know, and if they say, "Well, you can't shop in here," then you know what? that's private property too, and they got a right to set their rules. But you know what? I think you'll find out there's a lot of freeborn Americans that are still running businesses. Okay. And what are you doing, preacher? I'm just trying to embolden you, because you say, well, mass, is it really, you know, do you have a biblical? Listen, you're being programmed. We're being programmed. Okay. And you know what? The science, they want to say, well, it's the science teaching. You come on. Anybody in here that can read will find out that even the ones that now are telling you that they work, at one point you can find quotes in the beginning where they said they did not work. And it's not about your health. It's about control. It's about controlling the populace, getting everybody in line, getting everybody that come hat in hand and ask to do this and ask to do that. And, you know, I'm for all being reasonable, but we are going to have to stand up against some things, folks. And you need to do some studying on these vaccines before you just run and get in line. Okay. I think about 70% of our churches had COVID. I'm just guesstimating that. Okay. From just interacting, talking to people, you know, I understand that it has the potential to end somebody's life, but the flu had that last year too. I'm all for protecting people that are vulnerable, exceptionally vulnerable. But listen, folks, the Bible tells us to quarantine the sick, don't quarantine the well, the healthy. And that's God's plan, in the Old Testament law. You know what? You put them away, check them, make sure that they either are or they aren't. They need to be quarantined, they are. You don't shut down a nation over it. And so I felt like I'm going to get up and say my piece, so I did. What's that got to do? Because parents, if you're going to raise a Moses, you got to set the right example for them kids. And you know what? If there's an unlawful law, sorry, we don't follow it. You go home as a daddy and you open the Bible, King James Bible, and say, listen, I want you to understand, we don't defy laws just for the sake of defying them. And if we can possibly follow them, we're commanded to do so. But if they cross the line of the scriptures, nope, we don't do it. And we put our faith and trust in God. And the same God that rewarded these women, and the same God that showed up in that fiery furnace with those three Hebrew children, and the same God, I never did get to the end of that story, the same God that broke them out of jail. And by the way, didn't say, now run and hide, but said, hey, I'm breaking you out. Oh, good. Now go back to where you were. Go stand and speak. Then they went to get him the next morning, and they're not in the jail. Doors are locked. What happened? I don't know. They're not there. And then somebody comes in. Hey, those guys that you arrested, they're back over there. And the Bible says they approached them with a whole different attitude the second time. And they brought them back in, and they listened to what they were asking them to do. And they said, here's the problem. We ought to obey God rather than man. You see, Jesus stood on Mount Olives, and he looked at a group of us, and he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And that's Christ's command. And you're commanding us to do something opposite of what Christ commanded us to do. And sir, with all due respect, we're going to obey God, not you. Okay? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help our church, Lord. I don't know for sure everything that we're going to have to face, and I'm sure not one that's seeking to draw a target on the Church of Jesus Christ, or on any of our people, or myself or my family. But Lord, we've got to get back to the scriptures, and we've got to get back to understanding Christian liberty. Lord, we've got to make up our minds. Boy, if there's ever time, we better just make up our minds in different areas of our life as far as where the lines are, what we will do, what we won't do, what we will obey, and what if they ask us to do things that are contrary to God's word, Lord, that we would exercise, Lord, our Christian liberty. Lord, I pray for our country. Oh, we need a revival. And maybe this is what's going to help start a revival. I pray, Lord, that you'll just help us to find the courage of our convictions. Lord, help us to speak up for Jesus more than ever before. Help us to witness like we've never witnessed before. Lord, I believe the time is short. So help each one, Lord. Everybody goes into their life and their unique situation. Their job's different than someone else's jobs. And I just pray that you'd give every single person in this room godly wisdom, dear God, as they're going to be facing more and more things that we've just never had to face before. So give them godly wisdom, we pray in Jesus' name.